This is the reading for April 13th. Psalm 103. My whole being praise the Lord. All my being praise His holy name. My whole being praise the Lord and do not forget all His kindnesses. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He saves my life from the grave and loads me with love and mercy. He satisfies me with good things and makes me young again like the eagle. The Lord does what is right and fair for all who are wronged by others. He showed His ways to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord shows mercy and is kind. He does not become angry quickly, and He has great love. He will not always accuse us, and He will not be angry forever. He has not punished us as our sins should be punished. He has not repaid us for the evil we have done. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is His love for those who respect Him. He has taken our sins away from us, as far as the east is from the west. The Lord has mercy on those who respect Him, as a father has mercy on his children. He knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. Human life is like grass. We grow like a flower in the field. After the wind blows, the flower is gone, and there is no sign of where it was. But the Lord's love for those who respect Him continues forever and ever, and His goodness continues to their grandchildren and to those who keep His agreement and who remember to obey His orders. The Lord has set His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over everything. You who are His angels, praise the Lord. You are the mighty warriors who do what He says and who obey His voice. You, His armies, praise the Lord. You are His servants who do what He wants. Everything the Lord has made should praise Him in all the places He rules. My whole being, praise the Lord. Joshua 17. Then land was given to the tribe of Manasseh, Joseph's first son. Manasseh's first son was Machir, the father of Gilead. Machir was a great soldier, so the lands of Gilead and Bashan were given to his family. Land was also given to the other family groups of Manasseh, Abiezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hepher, and Shemadah. These were all the other sons of Manasseh, son of Joseph. Zelophehad was the son of Hepher, who was the son of Gilead, who was the son of Machir, who was the son of Manasseh. Zelophehad had no sons, but he had five daughters, named Mahla, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They went to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua son of Nun, and to all the leaders. They said, "The Lord told Moses to give us land, like the men received." So Eleazar obeyed the Lord and gave the daughters some land, just like the brothers of their father. So the tribe of Manasseh had 10 sections of land west of the Jordan River and 2 more sections, Gilead and Bashan, on the east side of the Jordan River. The daughters of Manasseh received land just as the sons did. Gilead was given to the rest of the families of Manasseh. The lands of Manasseh were in the area between Asher and Michmethath near Shechem. The border went south to the Entupua area, which belonged to Manasseh, except for the town of Tapua. It was along the border of Manasseh's land and belonged to the sons of Ephraim. The border of Manasseh continued south to Kanah Ravine. The cities in this area of Manasseh belonged to Ephraim. Manasseh's border was on the north side of the ravine and went to the sea. The land to the south belonged to Ephraim, and the land to the north belonged to Manasseh. The Mediterranean Sea was the western border. The border touched Asher's land on the north and Issachar's land on the east. In the areas of Issachar and Asher, the people of Manasseh owned these towns: Beth Shan and its small towns, Ibleam and its small towns, the people who lived in Dor and its small towns, the people in Naphath Dor and its small towns, the people who lived in Taanach and its small towns, the people in Megiddo and its small towns. Manasseh was not able to defeat those cities, so the Canaanites continued to live there. When the Israelites grew strong, they forced the Canaanites to work for them, although they did not force them to leave the land. The people from the tribes of Joseph said to Joshua, "You gave us only one area of land, but we are many people. Why did you give us only one part of all the land the Lord gave His people?" And Joshua answered them, "If you have too many people, go up to the forest and make a place for yourselves to live there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaites. The mountain country of Ephraim is too small for you." The people of Joseph said, "It is true, the mountain country of Ephraim is not enough for us, but the land where the Canaanites live is dangerous. They are skilled fighters. They have powerful weapons in Bethshan and all the small towns in that area, and they are also in the valley of Jezreel." Then Joshua said to the people of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "There are many of you, and you have great power. You should be given more than one share of land. You also will have the mountain country. It is a forest, but you can cut down the trees and make it a good place to live. You will own all of it because you will force the Canaanites to leave the land, even though they have powerful weapons and are strong." Joshua chapter 18. All of the Israelites gathered together at Shiloh, where they set up the meeting tent. The land was now under their control. But there were still seven tribes of Israel that had not yet received their land. So Joshua said to the Israelites, "Why do you wait so long to take your land? The Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given this land to you. Choose three men from each tribe, and I will send them out to study the land. They will describe in writing the land their tribe wants as its share, and then they will come back to me. They will divide the land into seven parts. The people of Judah will keep their land in the south, and the people of Joseph will keep their land in the north. You should describe the seven parts of land in writing and bring what you have written to me. Then I will throw lots in the presence of the Lord our God. But the Levites do not get any part of these lands, because they are priests and their work is to serve the Lord. Gad, Reuben, and East Manasseh have received the land promised to them, which is east of the Jordan River. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them." So the men who were chosen to map the land started out. Joshua told them, "Go and study the land and describe it in writing. Then come back to me, and I will throw lots in the presence of the Lord here in Shiloh." So the men left and went into the land. They described in a scroll each town in the seven parts of the land. Then they came back to Joshua, who was still at the camp at Shiloh. There Joshua threw lots in the presence of the Lord to choose the lands that should be given to each tribe. The first part of the land was given to the tribe of Benjamin. Each family group received some land between the land of Judah and the land of Joseph. This is the land chosen for Benjamin. The northern border started at the Jordan River and went along the northern edge of Jericho, and then it went west into the mountains. That boundary continued until it was just east of Beth-Aven. From there it went south to Luz, also called Betha, and then down to Ataroth-Adar, which is on the hill south of Lower Beth-Horon. At the hill to the south of Beth-Horon, the border turned and went south near the western side of the hill. It went to Kiriath-Baal, also called Kiriath-Jearim, a town where people of Judah lived. This was the western border. The southern border started near Kiriath-Jearim and went west to the waters of Nephtoah. Then it went down to the bottom of the hill, which was near the valley of Ben-Hinnom, on the north side of the valley of Rephaim. The border continued down the Hinnom Valley just south of the Jebusite city of En-Rogel. There it turned north and went to En-Shemesh. It continued to Gilaloth near the Adumim Pass. Then it went down to the great stone of Bohan south of Reuben. The border continued to the northern part of Beth-Arabah and went down into the Jordan Valley. From there it went to the northern part of Beth-Hoglah and ended at the north shore of the Dead Sea, where the Jordan River flows into the sea. This was the southern border. The Jordan River was the border on the eastern side, so this was the land given to the family groups of Benjamin, with the borders on all sides. The family groups of Benjamin received these cities: Jericho, Beth-Hoglah, Emek-Keziz, Beth-Arabah, Zemaraim, Bethel, Avim, Parah, Ophrah, Kephar-Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. There were 12 towns and all their villages. The tribe of Benjamin also received Gibeon, Rabbah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephirah, Mozah, Rakim, Erpil, Teralah, Zelah, Haleph, the Jebusite city, Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath. There were 14 towns and their villages. All these areas are the lands the family groups of Benjamin were given.
Chapter 12. Meanwhile, thousands of people had gathered. They were so crowded that they stepped on each other. Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. I'm talking about their hypocrisy. Nothing has been covered that will not be exposed. Whatever is secret will be made known. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. Whatever you have whispered in private rooms will be shouted from the housetops." My friends, I can guarantee that you don't need to be afraid of those who kill the body. After that, they can't do anything more. I'll show you the one you should be afraid of. Be afraid of the one who has the power to throw you into hell after killing you. I'm warning you to be afraid of him. Aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? God doesn't forget any of them. Even every hair on your head has been counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I can guarantee that the Son of Man will acknowledge in front of God's angels every person who acknowledges him in front of others. But God's angels will be told that I don't know those people who tell others that they don't know me. Everyone who says something against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the person who dishonors the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are put on trial in synagogues or in front of rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. At that time, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you must say. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance that our father left us." Jesus said to him, "Who appointed me to be your judge or to divide your inheritance?" He told the people, "Be careful to guard yourselves from every kind of greed. Life is not about having a lot of material possessions." Then he used this illustration. He said, "A rich man had land that produced good crops. He thought, 'What should I do? I don't have enough room to store my crops.' He said, 'I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones so that I can store all my grain and goods in them. Then I'll say to myself, you've stored up a lot of good things for years to come. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool! I will demand your life from you tonight. Now who will get what you've accumulated?'" That's how it is when a person treasures material possessions and his riches don't serve God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "So I tell you to stop worrying about what you will eat or wear. Life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. Consider the crows. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even have a storeroom or a barn. Yet God feeds them. You are worth much more than birds. Can any of you add an hour to your life by worrying? If you can't do a small thing like that, why worry about other things? Consider how the flowers grow. They never work or spin yarn for clothes, but I say that not even Solomon in all his majesty was dressed like one of these flowers. That's the way God clothes the grass of the field. Today it's alive, and tomorrow it's thrown into an incinerator. So how much more will he clothe you people who have so little faith? Don't concern yourself about what you will eat or drink, and quit worrying about these things. Everyone in the world is concerned about these things, but your Father knows you need them. Rather, be concerned about his kingdom. Then these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your material possessions and give the money to the poor. Make yourselves wallets that don't wear out. Make a treasure for yourselves in heaven that never loses its value. In heaven, thieves and moths can't get close enough to destroy your treasure. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Be ready for action and have your lamps burning. Be like servants waiting to open the door at their master's knock when he returns from a wedding. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. I can guarantee this truth. He will change his clothes, make them sit down at the table, and serve them. They will be blessed if he comes in the middle of the night or toward morning and finds them awake. Of course, you realize that if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let him break into his house. Be ready, because the Son of Man will return when you least expect him. Peter asked, "Lord, did you use this illustration just for us or for everyone?" The Lord asked, "Who then is the faithful, skilled manager that the master will put in charge of giving the other servants their share of food at the right time? That servant will be blessed if his master finds him doing this job when he comes. I can guarantee this truth. He will put that servant in charge of all his property. On the other hand, that servant may think that his master is taking a long time to come home. The servant may begin to beat the other servants and to eat, drink, and get drunk. His master will return at an unexpected time. Then his master will punish him severely and assign him a place with unfaithful people." The servant who knew what his master wanted but didn't get ready to do it will receive a hard beating, but the servant who didn't know what his master wanted and did things for which he deserved punishment will receive a light beating. A lot will be expected from everyone who has been given a lot. More will be demanded from everyone who has been entrusted with a lot. I have come to throw fire on the earth. I wish that it had already started. I have a baptism to go through, and I will suffer until it is over. Do you think that I came to bring peace to earth? No. I can guarantee that I came to bring nothing but division. From now on, a family of five will be divided. Three will be divided against two, and two against three. A father will be against his son, and a son against his father. A mother will be against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law will be against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud coming up in the west, you immediately say, 'There's going to be a rainstorm,' and it happens. When you see a south wind blowing, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and that's what happens. You hypocrites! You can forecast the weather by judging the appearance of earth and sky, but for some reason, you don't know how to judge the time in which you're living. So why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? For instance, when an opponent brings you to court in front of a ruler, do your best to settle with him before you get there. Otherwise, he will drag you in front of a judge. The judge will hand you over to an officer who will throw you into prison. I can guarantee that you won't get out until you pay every penny of your fine."